welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. If you joined us late, Brandon House was our guest, weekendworldview.com, talking about the interfaith dialogue and the tentacles of the Muslim Brotherhood involved in all that. We got a slight schedule change. We were supposed to have Pam Geller come on today in hour number two. She had a scheduling conflict. She's in transit. So when we'll get her rescheduled to come back on, it was just, I guess the traveling took a little more time.
Yeah, she'd be talking to us from an airport, which we didn't want to do.
So what we did instead is, because of some of the interesting news today, apparently, we talked about this a little bit on the Daily Show earlier, but there is a story about, Fox News, Rod Wheeler, the private investigator for the Rich family in the Seth Rich murder, and a lawsuit, which is very confusing and convoluted. And Peter Chalka is going to come on to explain this with us at 8:30.
Super important.
Because there's a claim that they're trying to say that the president, basically fabricated this story to push the news agenda and narrative away from the Russia investigation.
NPR did this huge story on this.
But what's really messed up is Rod Wheeler saying he was misrepresented, misquoted, by saying Seth Rich had connections and emailed the WikiLeaks, when he, in fact, in his own words, said this in multiple interviews on video. But he's saying he's being misquoted, and there's a lot more to the story.
A lot more, and please, Peter Chalka knows. I mean, he's been on top of this. He never sleeps. This guy is an amazing repository of facts, and he knows a lot more than he will tell. But just make sure we pay attention to this. By the way, you're talking about Rod Wheeler and how that all is playing out. Ben Rhodes, former Obama aide Ben Rhodes, now a person of interest in the unmasking investigation. This, according to Circa News. Now, how this the reason that this should pique everyone's interest. Ben Rhodes, you got to go back. And you have to know the history. You have to follow the people involved in Obama's regime and how it evolved from the early days until the last day, until he handed the keys to the White House to Donald Trump. Ben Rhodes, now a person of interest in unmasking investigation. Pay attention to this story. Circa News, Sarah Carter came out with this. Pay very close attention to this story. I tweeted this out, retweeted this, I should say, on my personal Twitter account, to Hagman Report. Pay attention. Important. Because, hey, this goes back to the Obama birth certificate, actually. Remember when we had Mike Zillow on and Carl Gallups?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Remember when we had others on and the forger? No one would name who the forger of this document was. We know who it is, but we're not going to name it. Right? Name him. Anyway, I'm going to stop there. I'm just going to stop that. I'm going to stop it right there. Ben Rhodes, former aide. Ben Rhodes, now a person of interest in unmasking investigation. Huh. I think we need to take a really hard look at this. Because, of course, his brother, CBS News, what's his first name? Rhodes' first name, CBS.
I don't know.
Okay. Somebody help me out with this.
I don't know. Bill?
No.
Mark?
Yeah, we're gonna go through the whole thing.
Yep.
The first name.
Yep.
Well, Ben Rhodes joins a number of other people, including but not limited to Samantha Power, Susan Rice, John Brennan. They all have been named in the House Intelligence Committee, their investigation into the unmasking of Americans. And to do so is extremely, it's not cool, people. It ain't cool. This is extremely dangerous, and Obama set this up. And don't forget how Obama allowed this to not just progress, but to expand. Before he walked out the door, he passed some, he broadened the unmasking process. This this would take a lot more than a half hour to really explain, but to be concise, what this did, how can I best describe it? It would have decriminalized what would have otherwise been criminal, a tactic to use to undermine Donald Trump's transition, and to use that as legal fodder. The unmasking as legal fodder, where to kind of give, it would be like tilting the playing field on a football field, tilting that 30 degrees against the opposing team. All right, so they're always running uphill or throwing speed or whatever. You get the idea. This is what that unmasking process did. In fact, I'm going to be getting into this tomorrow, I think, in my morning show. Because this is so important. Don't skim over this. This is critical. If Ben Rhodes is involved in this, we know Obama is. But see, where is, and Joe, I'll ask you this question, and where in the hell is Jeff Sessions in this? I want to know where, here's my problem. You've got Hillary Clinton. You've got the Clinton Foundation. You've got all of these individuals and groups that are out there that are continually giving Donald Trump a hard time. They could be taken out, neutralized. When I say taken out, I'm talking about legally challenged through the Department of Justice, and they're not. And I'm getting damn frustrated by people saying, well, you know, they're working behind the scenes, and no, they're not. They're not working at all. All right. So what we need to do, and I think that this is imperative, every Obama holdover that is still in office, Donald Trump, have him form a single file to the West Wing. Line them up single file, one by one. In fact, put a TV camera behind you, or, you know, the three camera arrangement. You're fired. You're fired. I mean, and it'd be a great reality show. You're fired. You're fired. Let's do it. And put it on primetime. Obama holdouts.
There does need to be more action taken against the number of people still serving inside the political administration and otherwise, you know, starting from the Hillary Clinton email scandal to her foundation fraud to the rigging of the primaries to take it away from Bernie Sanders. All these are criminal offenses that are still actionable. And the evidence is out there for anyone to find. And
I've never seen it push so hard.
The DNC, I mean, there are so many.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz?
There are so many people that the evidence is all out in the open for the law enforcement agencies just to gather and put the cases together. But obviously something, some power, some authority is telling them to stand down. Obviously there are powers at work here that we are not seeing. Or these people it's just a big joke or a game to them.
I don't think it's a joke or a game. I think that there's two camps here. I think that there's the camp that are actively attempting to take Donald Trump, delegitimize his presidency, and then kill the presidency itself, because you have to do that when you want to establish a third world banana republic, which is their step in order to create this world utopian to hell. And this one world government, of course, the globalist government that they're going for. And that's what's necessary to take place. But if you watch and see, that's why people, when I talk on my morning program, when I talk on this program about, for example, Fox News and the media, and say, well, people say, well, what's the big deal? They're part of the corporate establishment media. Yeah, they're the final linchpin, or they're the final link in this chain. They're the final beachhead, I guess, in the corporate media that has any semblance of conservative values. Now, it's important to take that and erase that. The people that involved in that are doing just that. The people at Fox News, and I'm not going to get into this, but there's a war against people like Sean Hannity And when you see on Twitter account, when you see people attack Sean Hannity by making these outrageous, ludicrous statements 15 years, you know, hence, by these, in my personal opinion, these absurd, psycho, people. Okay. Now this is my opinion. So, you know, so those of you who are typing, transcribing this, make sure that you note this is my personal opinion. They're psychotic. They're sociopathic. They're struggling for relevance. They're nothing. They know they're nothing. They know that they're never going to be anything. So they're going to take and try to make a name for themselves by bringing down people like Sean Hannity. Okay. Again, opinion. That's my opinion. But see, when you see people like that, now those people are just pathetic in my view. Just pathetic. But then you've got the other side who are working and they're not as sociopathic and psychopathic. Well, maybe they are, but at least not as outwardly. And they're going after people like Sean Hannity, but they're doing it in a different way. You see, they're doing it in a more effective way. Like you recall that leak that came out, Sean Hannity and Bill Shine with President Donald Trump. Where did that leak come from? Oh, see, that's different than making some wild, crazy, ludicrous accusation that I referenced earlier. That's much different, and that's much more dangerous. And those are the people, in my view, those are the people that are the attached to the Obamas and the Clintons, and those are the people that have that need and the ability, much more so than the former, these people have the ability to take and the power to take down people like Sean Hannity, the last real true conservative at a network that's changing from a conservative beachhold to join the progressive media alliance, if you will. And this is why this is so important. Just you compare this to what Brandon House said with respect to how this Islamic lie has infiltrated the conservative Christian movement and has even duped some of the most intellectual conservatives and Christians. And you can see this battle forming and the sides forming. And you can best tell, I think, with respect to that, how vicious they are. The more vicious they are, the more blasphemous they are. You know, not too long ago, I had some, in my view, personal idiot that put Steve Quayle in my picture on Jesus. Steve Quayle was Jesus, and I was, I don't know who I was. I mean, what a putz. In my personal opinion, what a moron. What an idiot. In order to make a point about his stellar Christianity. Okay? I still have the picture. Are you serious? But this is, in my view, again, this is my personal opinion. That person is, you know, I scrape better stuff off the bottom of my shoe when I walk my dog than that individual. And that's my opinion. That's the way I feel. Yeah. Well, that's how I really feel. But you see, this is what we're going to be running into in the larger sense. This is what we're going to be running into. In all of us, you listening out there, standing up for Christianity, listening and saying, you know what? You're being deceived. Like Brandon House says, you're being deceived. You know what they'll do to you? Yeah, they'll call that Sharia hotline or the whatever hotline and say, hey, Joe Smith at 1025 Main Street, he's talking smack about Muslims. This is where it's going. And then all of a sudden you'll get served papers and then you'll have to defend yourself and you'll file bankruptcy because, you know, you see, this is how it's going, or acquiesce. It's not the warfare that you think. Everyone's looking for this big, visible, overt, it makes sense. No, this is just this, the way this is going it's not the way you think. These people are doing this in a way that it's diabolical. It really is diabolical. But anyway, I got off on a rant there. I didn't, shouldn't have perhaps, but I don't care, because I'll get written about now in blogs and such about this. And you know, just one more fight to fight against the people who are attempting to take us down. And I want to and by the way, I want to thank you everyone for standing by us, and thank you for your trust in us, and as we bring you guests like Brandon House and Peter Chalka and others, and we attempt to bring the truth to you. I want to thank you for standing by us, and I want to thank you for your support. Without your financial support, and I'll tell you one thing right now. I'm gonna flat out say this. If there's ever a time that we could use your financial support, it's now. It really is. We are doing our best to keep this ship afloat. You know, we are expanding at a rate. We are pacing our supply lines, but we're reaching more people, and we're getting more and more positive response, and we're seeing we're getting people saying, thanks for bringing Pastor Langford in our lives. Thanks for bringing Brandon House. Thanks for bringing all these people. But we need that supply. And I'm just gonna say, look, if you feel like you could support this show financially, we would really appreciate it right now. And if you have, we thank you immensely. Thank you so much. But you can either do it via mail or via PayPal on our site. It's on HagmanReport.com. But the fight is real, and we will see. I think in our lifetime, in my lifetime, I do believe we're going to see everything that Brandon House talked about really take shape. And I think that it wouldn't that be something. How many conservatives do you think would cheer Joe if the United Nations was moved out of the United States to Iraq?
How many people would want?
Would cheer. How many conservatives would say, yeah, we're getting rid of the United Nations. Get the United Nations out of New York City. Use
many
that space.
Cheer. Most would cheer.
But place it in 58 miles south of Baghdad. They'd cheer because it's out of the United States, but not necessarily see the long view of what the Bible says. Right? Am I right? Or, hey, it doesn't. But how many real Christian conservatives would cheer about just that? I would be happy with that removal of the United Nations out of the United States. Yes, absolutely. But I also, at the same time, I wouldn't stop there. I would realize what is taking place through the lens of Scripture, that what is being set up through this consortium of nations and this push toward this one world government via this false religion, coexist false religion that's being established. And that's what I think is the danger. If you got nothing else out of what Brandon House said, I truly believe is the danger. And we have to warn. Education is the key. To educate others is the key, and not rant like I did, not throw a hissy fit, but educate, explain. And that's really, to me, that's key, because the more people we can reach and say, okay, you might think that this is a great idea, and it is a great idea to get this off our shores, off our land, but look at the bigger picture, look at the wider picture, and see what's taking place, what comes next. Warn your children, educate your children. This is what we must do. And with every case that we see in the media, make sure we look through those cases. It doesn't matter what the subject matter is. We're going to be talking to Peter Barry Chalka at the bottom of the hour, but cases like Rod Wheeler, the first thing you see, NPR, shock claim, Rod Wheeler, arm twisted into saying what, or didn't say what he, you know, whatever that case might be. You've got to dissect the news, and thank goodness for Peter, because he sent us some. He sent the list of audio and video files that really knocked the wind out of Rod Wheeler's case, in my view.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and it's going to be very interesting to hear what he has to say on this, because there is a lot of unanswered questions. There's something going on with Wheeler. I believe, from what I read this morning, he's also, it's not only just this article pertaining to Seth Rich that he has a problem with. He has a problem with Fox News, and he's suing them for discrimination because he claims that he has been a Fox News contributor for 11 years, yet he's not receiving the same amount of airtime as his white counterparts. So it's more than just this article. And if I had to guess, my guess would be that this is some kind of publicity stunt or further attempt to discredit the investigation into Seth Rich, at the same time while Wheeler trying to add fuel to the fire of his discrimination lawsuit. Because there's just a few things about the story that don't sit right with me. One, why would the president sit down and care and try to, I mean, if he wanted to create a story to take the news cycle off the Russian narrative, he could have done so in a million different ways that had nothing to do with Seth Rich. I don't see what the gain for him to sit down and conspire to create a fake news story, what benefit that would bring him at all. So that makes no sense to me, other than the fact that maybe he read it before it came out and said, okay, you know, this is interesting. I can see that. But
are you talking about the,
well, Wheeler's claiming the president worked with Fox News to create the story to get the detention off the Russian narrative and to bring the attention back to the DNC. But, you know, the truth of that was already...
But you've got a body. I mean, you've got a dead body on one hand and a narrative on another hand. I mean, it just doesn't make... I see where...
And
then
the discrimination lawsuit, you know, that Wheeler's bringing against Fox is very convenient now that he's trying to lump this other claim in there. And again, as Peter Choka said, even if he was coerced into saying the things he did, he still was on TV saying them. There wasn't a gun being held to his head. And he's the one that confirmed this information on a number of different interviews. So for him to try to walk this back and say he was misquoted and never said these things, well, the videos are already out there of him saying these things. So this story, as it did this morning, really didn't make a lot of sense to me.
And thank you for saying that, because when I read the NPR article and reread it and try to make heads or tails out of it, I mean, I know what it's saying, but it just doesn't make, you're right, it makes no sense. And then, especially in the context of the Imran Abid, Jamal, Omar Awan, Hina Alvi, and Natalia Sova, in that, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, in other words, the Awan brothers and company with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, in that context with Seth Rich, there's too many moving parts, I think, where Rod Wheeler would attempt to extricate himself from what he said. It almost looks like there's, you're right. I would be looking at maybe some financial gain from a lawsuit filed.
Something like that.
You know, there's something wrong with this, and I don't believe, and in retrospect, when you look at what Fox News did by pulling the story, I can see that taking place. Remember when Fox News pulled the Seth Rich?
And I think they did that because of unconfirmed sources from the FBI that Wheeler was quoting.
But, well, no. Let me adjust that a tad. I think they did that seeing where this was going. Okay, wait a second. He is now... meaning Wheeler is now making some statements that are, as he's changing his whole tune, there's something going on here, so we just better kind of, we better protect ourselves and pull that back. So I don't think it was, I think it was more of a defensive maneuver, not against what would be not true, but what would be a potential exacerbation of an anticipated lawsuit by Rod Wheeler that they knew about, but the general population maybe didn't. And that's the discrimination case Well, I'm not sure of the timing of that, but I'm sure that figures prominently into this because no one wants to do something, especially if you've got and Fox does have a huge list of huge attorney, you know, they've got attorneys everywhere. So the attorneys probably out of an abundance of caution will say, well, we'll go ahead and pull this. And then everyone's making this big on the left saying, well, see, they pulled it now because it's not true. Well, no, wait. That's not necessarily the reason why they pulled it. And I think assumptions were made. Speculation was made. And then people ran with that. And I think that's a... So, but Peter Chuck is going to be with us to make some sense of this here at the bottom of the hour. And I think it's so important because this, to me, you unravel the rich homicide. And one might say, well, even at the simplest sense, it looks like a botched robbery because they didn't execute Seth Rich right there on the sidewalk. Well,
as I said on the show earlier today, it's if anything, it looks like some kind of altercation from maybe, you know, somebody walking down the street and giving the wrong look, more so than a botched robbery.
But the odds of this, and then combine. You're right. That's true. But when you combine everything else, the odds are just astronomical. We're going to be back with Peter Chalka right after this network break. Stay with us.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Erickson.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Trading Post in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We are offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Remedies Kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Remedies Kit at www.changelessandwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This edition of the Hagman Report. Peter Chowka is going to be our guest coming up here very shortly. He's a man that I've really grown to respect. He knows a lot more than he can tell. In many cases, he's got. He's really been a blessing to our program, blessing in terms of information, and he's a writer. Pieces are featured in American Thinker, of course, Hagman Report. He's got a lot of knowledge. The guy's like an Energizer rabbit, man. He just goes and goes and goes. So I really appreciate his work in the battle for our republic. And let me know when he's, give me a thumbs up when he's ready. And, okay. All right. Eric the Tech is, he's working on that. But I meant what I said earlier about folks. You know, we are in a, I don't want to say a money bomb situation right now, but we are expanding. You can see what we're doing. John is coming from the West Coast. He's going to be repositioned here, so we can work out of one office. That takes a lot of, I mean, the logistics behind that is just, you know, blow your
enormous
mind.
Enormous, yeah.
Yeah, when you, all the little things that you think you know, it's, last time I moved about a block away, right? And, that was rough. But when you're talking about 3,000 miles, that's, wow.
All your stuff. You know,
hey, I forgot my, whatever. You just can't go back and get it. Yeah, and then, you know, the tractor trailer and this, oh my goodness, you know. So, but see, that will give us the edge. And this is where we're headed. And it, to kind of give you a wide angle lens of where we're headed, we do expect. And I think, Joe, I think you probably, and I don't know if you've talked to, I'm about two episodes behind in your program, so I don't know. But I think where we're headed as a group, as the Hagman Report, is we will be possibly one of the last conservative Christian, along with Brandon House, of course, and some others, groups that will be on the front lines of the fight that we're fighting. And our detractors will become much more refined. Right now, they're a bunch of putzes, the majority of them. I use that word. That's my pet word now, putz. But 98.5% have been just unrefined. The 1.5% have been very refined and very costly, very damaging, very incredibly time-consuming. Lawyer, you know, get lawyers involved because Doug said something and hurt someone's feelings. So now, now it's $10,000, you know, to get lawyers involved because some Christian who says they're Christian, you know, another, you know, it just goes on and on. So, but I think at the end of the day, when you pull the lenses back and you take a look at the landscape, I think what's going to end up happening here is the fight is going to be taken. The battle is not going to be waged in the, on the big battlefields. There are going to be smaller battles in the town square, but even worse, inside the home, inside the churches, inside the assembly halls. These are where the battles are going to take place, and the more incisive battles. You know, I met a group of people I haven't seen in a number of years here not too long ago, and it's amazing. It's just amazing to see the sides taken. I don't want to give too much of this away, but it's just amazing to see, to me anyway. when you talk with people. 10 years ago, Joe, I think you could talk to somebody about politics or religion. You know how your mom used to say, oh, don't talk politics or religion at the table?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yeah. I think when you talk about politics or religion, 10 years ago, you could say things. Today, if you dare say things, you may never talk to that family member again. Seriously.
See stories in the news. There was just a story recently about another couple who got divorced because of their opposing views about Donald Trump. And it's crazy to see that. And that might be...
That might be Peter. Get somebody get the bat phone.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's...
But yeah, we will...
Ben Rhodes, line one.
We'll get Peter lined up here.
That's our attorneys on line one. I wonder what they want.
Just informing you of another lawsuit.
Yeah.
Hey, just filed.
Where are you going to be tomorrow? Where there's a process server. No, you just deliver it anymore. I'll just give you the address of our attorney. Deliver it to them. And they'll tell me how bad it is. I'm serious, folks. Serious.
All right. Well, let's do this.
Yeah, let's do this.
I'm going to go try to get Peter on the horn.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Use a phone instead. Don't use a horn. Use a phone. Did you see that? Those people listening by Blog Talk or Global Star think we're nuts. What you saw was Joe trying to crawl under the camera. Of course, you know, he can't bend down that far. So we'll get this working. But all of this is important. And I think I'm looking at the big picture here. And I worry about my children, I worry about my grandchildren, and I worry about you. I worry about the younger population. When I look at my daughter, Jackie, who works for us, at her young age of 20-something. How old is Jackie? 25. All right. Don't tell me that. That's a sad thing. That's right, 26 this month. No, don't say that to me. Don't, because I didn't know her exact age. It happens. There you go. See, he walked by the camera without even trying. But when I look at her, it's going to be in her lifetime, for sure. Mine, perhaps, but hers, for sure, where all of this is going to take place. And if you don't have a daughter, or if you don't have an offspring, and if you do, and you look at them, and the love that's in your heart, and if you're not concerned, then there's something to me, there's something very wrong with you. That's just my view. There's something very wrong. Because you're being selfish. Oh, I won't be here to see that. Well, what about your children? And even if you don't have children, what about... Look at your neighbor's child or your brother's or sister's child. Look at their eyes, their sweet eyes. Watch them play on the playground. Look at the people walking their dogs at the park or whatever. And you see this, and you know what's coming. You know what's coming. And they don't. I'm being very philosophical here, aren't I? But to me, we could have had a discussion 100 years ago, or even 10 years ago, but I'm sure discussions like this were more prevalent 100 years ago. If you think about it, even without the, I think there were more prevalent 100 years ago discussions like this, especially around World War II, around the time of the bombing of, you know, at the end of World War II. I think families had these discussions. Different context, but same end result, if you think about this. And you'll have to go back and listen, because people are saying, Doug, you're not making sense, you're just babbling. No, just think about it. All of what we're talking about here at the end, in the final analysis, is our future and how things are going to turn out. We know how things will turn out. We know that we're going to win as Christians. We know that we prevail, I should say, not win. That has a negative connotation in a sense, but we know we're going to prevail as Christians. We know where we're headed. We know where we're going. But we don't want to see, certainly, our children suffer or their children suffer. At least I don't. Through a system of oppression that is coming that no one can see and other people are embracing. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, and if we're not on top of that, while we do our job, while we work at the diecast shop, while we deliver the bread, while we drive the truck over the road, while we patrol the streets, while we do all of our chores at home, work in the garden, if we don't understand and don't care and don't bring the conversation back to this, I think we are doing ourselves and our children a disservice. Because, again, God is the center of all this. He will take care of us. We have to have faith in Him. But you still have to have that conversation. You still have to be, we're still mortal beings walking on this earth. And I'm no pastor. I don't claim to be. I'm no minister. I'm not even a religious, quote, guy, okay? But I do believe in the God of the Bible, and I do believe what the Bible says is true, and I do believe in good versus evil that we're seeing, and I see it ramping up. And I see that at the end of the day, and in the final analysis, this is what it's all about. The discussions have to be had. And if you are led astray, or your children are led astray, it's not going to be pretty. And we have to avoid that at all costs. And I hope that message resonated with someone out there, at least one person. Don't be afraid. If you're a guy like me, who you don't consider yourself religious, but you do believe in the God of the Bible, you're not a pastor, you're not a minister, you don't talk about this all the time with your friends. If you don't believe it, I mean, if you're that kind of a guy, I'm just going to tell you right now, have the conversation. Because it's going to benefit your children. It's going to benefit even your neighbor. And if they shut you down, that's up to them. But it's up to us to get the message across, get the truth across. And that's why we fight so hard every day. Do you think, and honestly, for a 3-hour show and then 2 1-hour shows, we're tired. Believe me, we're tired. Do you think that this is what we want to do? Do you think that we do this? You know, I shouldn't say that. It becomes cumbersome and burdensome. But we do it because we understand the stakes. I hope that makes sense. And that's speaking from the heart. We are waiting on Peter Berichoka, and I think it might be on the satellite end. I'm not sure, but we're waiting on that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Time.
I don't know. I don't know if we're going to get a chance to get him on.
I hope so.
Todd's working on it. But we talked briefly just before the show. Thought we had it worked out. But if not, we can always try again on another day as things happen.
Things do happen.
That are out of your control and you can't really do much about it. I don't know how many people saw this. I'm going to go to Hagman Report. We were talking about Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the Awan brothers. Well, there was an interesting story, two interesting stories. One, really kind of not important, but I want to bring it up because somebody did email this to me and I had already seen it, but it didn't really make much sense to me. The day the Steve Scalise shooting happened, which was maybe 5 weeks ago tomorrow, 6 weeks ago tomorrow,
isn't it amazing how quickly time has gone?
Yeah, what was that? Was that in May or was it?
You know, I don't know.
Okay, well, I'm looking for this article right now because, interestingly enough, this came across one of the news wires, and I saw this earlier, and then I got an email about it from a listener. Apparently, when the shooting happened in Alexandria, Virginia, the police were sent to Nancy Pelosi. The Capitol Police were sent to Nancy Pelosi's house instead of to where... Okay, Capitol Police went to Nancy Pelosi's house instead of Steve Scalise shooting. This is from downtrend.com from today. And I guess since we have Peter on, I don't want to take
Yeah, let's not take up his time. But,
we'll get into this more later or tomorrow.
All right. Peter Barry-Chalka, thank you so much for joining us on such short notice. But I think you have your fingers on the pulse of something that's really important. And when I saw what you sent, oh, my goodness, we need to get the story out. Peter, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, Doug. Thank you, Joe. I'm sorry the video Skype didn't work out, but we're back to the past here with a landline. Yes, I awakened this morning to see this mind-boggling news involving Rod Wheeler, the D.C., former D.C. Metropolitan Police detective, who, by the way, was apparently let go from the force in 1995 when he tested positive on a marijuana test. But for the past 12 years, he's been a Fox News paid consultant on crime issues and has always seemed to do a really excellent job and has been used quite a bit on camera on the channel. And as we know, on May 15th this year, he emerged in a growing story about the Seth Rich case, initially locally on Fox 5 DC, which did a story about him being the investigator hired by the relatives of Seth Rich to look into the case because it had become a cold case with the D.C. police. They just didn't seem to be doing anything visibly to try to solve the murder of Seth Rich, which took place on June 10th of last year. And so the story went local, and the next day it went national, largely thanks to Fox News, which employed Mr. Wheeler, Detective Wheeler, former Detective Wheeler. So he appeared on several Fox News programs that day, May 16th this year, most notably on Sean Hannity's program at 10 p.m. Eastern that night. And in his own words, both locally, Fox 5 in D.C., and on Fox News National, he said some very intriguing things, namely that there were sources at either the FBI or the local police who were indicating that there was more here than meets the eye. There were basically whistleblowers waiting to be heard. There was evidence waiting to be shown, and he was going to help to break this story. Well, of course, the mainstream media was skeptical. Fox News remained on the story for a few days, and then 1 week later, Fox News National retracted their initial story, which also appeared on their website on May 16th, I believe it was, and they just disappeared that story without much further comment. However, the local Fox Washington, D.C. story remained online, as it has been to this day. There's actually quite an information trail, and what I think I will do before the day is out is do a short article and post it at the Hagman Report, which will have links to some of this primary source material, because I also have a link to the... what blew this story open this morning was Rod Wheeler filed a criminal complaint, a lawsuit in, I believe, federal court in New York, alleging that Fox News had ruined his reputation, had misquoted him or created fake news. And there was also a racial component. He claimed that he had been discriminated against in his long career at Fox by not being allowed to advance or being made a full-time contributor or whatever. And apparently his attorney in this case is the one who's also representing other African-American employees of Fox News, about 12 of them at last count, including Kelly Wright, the most visible on-air personality, who are alleging racial discrimination. So that's a different part of the 33-page criminal court filing this morning. So it's a really complicated and convoluted story, to say the least.
Yeah, and Peter, that's different, but part, in my view, and correct me if I'm wrong, when you are attempting to take down an organization, that's just not one front, you open multiple battle fronts. So is that kind of what we're seeing, in a way?
Not only that, Doug, but this entire story is part of a much larger context. Now, you and I have been comparing notes on what's really going on at the Fox News Channel for a couple of months now, and we're not quite ready to go with the information which we're developing, which, if it develops like it looks like it's developing, I think will be a blockbuster. And that is what's really going on with Fox News. Who are the enemies? Well, we know some of the enemies, pretty much the entire mainstream media, but are there enemies within? Now, I've already reported in some of my reporting, and it was confirmed by your source a while back, that there are enemies within at probably some of the highest levels of Fox News. That is, enemies of the true conservative hosts and point of view at Fox News. And there's more evidence of that emerging day by day here. And it's actually, I think, intertwined with this story that we're talking about right now. I mean, this is a piece, this Rod Wheeler story today involving the Seth Rich case and whatever else is going on there, it's a puzzle piece of a much larger puzzle. And as these individual pieces become clearer and we nail them down, we are gradually seeing the clear picture of the big puzzle. So that's where we're going with this. But, you know, I want to refer briefly to an event I believe you mentioned earlier. That was the private dinner that took place at the White House last Wednesday evening involving Sean Hannity, Bill Shine, who was the former president of Fox News after his mentor Roger Ailes was fired exactly a year ago this week, and Bill Shine was fired 3 months ago now. So Shine was at the dinner with the President of the United States and Melania Trump and Anthony Scaramucci. Now, this dinner was off the record until it was leaked to Ryan Lizza of The New Yorker, who tweeted about it before the night was over, Wednesday night. That led to Scaramucci's phone call to Ryan Lizza, in which Lizza quoted Scaramucci, who alleges that he thought he was off the record, but Lizza had him on the record, and all hell broke loose with the obscenities that were spoken and quoted, and that directly or indirectly led to Scaramucci's ouster just yesterday from his role as director of communications at the White House after 10 days in that position. Meanwhile, it was reported by Variety today, and we, I think, theorized this anyway, or I certainly did, when I saw that Shine was on the guest list last Wednesday at the White House, that would Bill Shine, in fact, be offered a job at the Trump White House? And this is what Variety has reported late today, that Shine may be offered a job probably as the new communications director of the White House. So wouldn't that be interesting? So the revolving door or the musical chairs are going on there, but again, this is another piece of the puzzle. And who are the enemies trying to take this whole apparatus down? Of course, starting with the President of the United States, but how do they do that? They work first at the people who support him or work for him or advise him or report on him, and that means Fox News, because the Fox News Channel is the only mainstream news outlet that does anything like fair and objective reporting part or much of the day about these issues of our times, what President Trump is doing, the Russia alleged collusion story, and everything else. So if the enemies, the adversaries of President Trump who are out there, can take down or neuter or neutralize Fox News by further impairing its schedule, by perhaps rearranging that schedule so some familiar conservative voices are no longer there this coming fall, and of course the leading one is Sean Hannity, who's hanging on there, and also Tucker Carlson, also on in prime time, the Fox Morning Show, Fox and Friends. certainly not including people like Shep Smith or others who are probably lying in wait for more prominent roles. Ebony Williams would be another one. It seems like she's being groomed perhaps for a primetime role. So God only knows what will come out of all of this, but I think we have to really keep an eye on it, those of us who are into following fair and objective reporting wherever it does occur. And of course, most of it does occur now online, but this is the last source that's left. Now, Rod Wheeler, in the minute or two we have left here, let me just speculate a bit here. I think Rod Wheeler is probably, at this point, caught between a rock and a hard place. He got involved in this story, and it was hell to pay. It was a lose-lose situation. He saw his career crumbling. Fox News is no longer putting him on camera. His consulting business was probably drying up. And meanwhile, I'm sure, in my opinion, pressure was being brought to bear on him or anyone who would find himself in that position of trying to speak some truth to power about the Seth Rich case here. So, however you want to describe it, he either backtracked, he started, reconfiguring what he had said, but a lot is on the record, including a half hour or so conversation that he had with Big League Politics website, and I will link to that as well when I write about this later. But it's a can of worms, and the story is just beginning today, and I will probably be writing about it in the days ahead and speaking about it when I have an opportunity. But I think it's going to be a significant story. If it breaks big, if the mainstream media keeps on with the story, if it has legs, as it certainly has had today with CNN and other outlets, then it could be a big deal. But even if not, it's going to shed a lot of light, in my opinion, on the kind of investigations that we do, that is looking for the real truth behind the mirage, behind the smoke and mirrors here. Because already in Rod Wheeler's legal filing today, there's a lot of new information in that 33-page filing, even though a lot of it is not properly referenced or sourced. But there are some things in there that I've read for the first time. So it's really grounds for further research, in my opinion, and I'm really looking forward to finding. But there's multiple agendas at work here. There's money, there's reputation, there's power, there's positioning on the part of the Democrats and the left and the mainstream media, and it will be really interesting to see where this goes. And just to wrap it up with a bow here.
Peter, hold on 1 second here. For the first time in our broadcasting history, I ask that the top of the hour break be withheld. I'm going to give you to another 12 minutes, and then we'll bring our next guest on 10 minutes late, okay? But because this is breaking news, this is important news, and people need to see exactly how this fits in, because when they fully understand what you're saying, the light bulb should go off, Peter. So I'm going to shut up, give you another 10, 11 minutes here, unhindered time, because this
Doug,
is...
Doug, thank
this
you for your generosity, but I want to point out as well that I feel like this is a joint enterprise. Since we first got in touch about 2 months ago, you and I have been comparing notes on a regular basis on what we are discerning about what's going on, not only with Fox News in its present and future course, but with a lot of other things, because we're looking at the holistic picture here. What's going on in our times? The media is a central part of it, and Fox News, for whatever reason, is right on the tip of the spear now. And, I mean, we've seen profound changes there in the last year, and we may not have seen the last changes yet. So, you know, I think we're going forward together here, and not to oversell what we are doing, but, I mean, quite frankly, I think the information that we are developing, much of which we cannot go with yet because it hasn't been totally verified, and we're not quite ready to go with it yet, but we will be, I think, fairly soon, is going to be an absolute blockbuster. And I really think we have an exclusive on it. I mean, and I know you do this too, we read everything we can find, listen to everything we can find, watch everything we can find, covering these issues, and I don't see anything being developed on what is the future of Fox News. I mean, we ain't seen nothing yet. You know, we have information we're developing that there could be major major, major changes in the primetime schedule of Fox News coming up in a very short span of time here. And that can change everything. And this, again, to return to the Rod Wheeler story today on the front burner, this story is a part of that puzzle. That's why we're putting a very clear focus on it right now, because as it pans out, as we learn more about it, as we follow the leads that this story is opening up, you know, our awareness of the bigger picture is only going to be enhanced. I mean, the Seth Rich case, since that terrible tragedy happened last June, when Seth Rich, 27-year-old man, employee of the Democratic National Committee in the IT department there, when he was brutally murdered, shot in the back, I believe, twice, and died either on his way to or shortly after he arrived at the hospital. I mean, this is a terrible tragedy for his family, for anyone who knew him, for his friends, and even for people who didn't know him. It's a shocking thing. It's a crime that you hope the perpetrators would be found, tried, found guilty, and punished. And yet, over a year later now, as I said, it apparently has become a cold case. So when former Detective Rod Wheeler emerged 2.5 months ago now and said he was on the case, I mean, he's a man with apparent credibility, a good reputation, and with the cooperation initially of the family of Seth Rich and funding from a third party to carry this investigation forward, we became optimistic for a time that finally we'd see some closure in this case. Well, it didn't happen, and the reporting largely went back to the back burner. And I should say as well that to be credited in this reporting on the Seth Rich case, not only people like Alicia Powell at WorldNet Daily, who's done tremendous investigative work on this story, but also, in addition to Fox 5 DC, the local ABC affiliate there, I believe WJLA, Channel 7, I forget the reporter's name, but he has been on the case consistently from time to time, covering it not totally, not day in, day out, but as his schedule allows, and has developed information, as well as the One America News Network and some other internet sources. And in fact, today, the emergence of Big League Politics, which is a fairly new site that started in January. It was an outgrowth of several people who left Breitbart News and started up a new site, and already it's checked the Alexa ratings. I can't remember if it's number 17,000 or around 60,000, but it's doing fairly reasonably well for a new site. They posted this half-hour conversation with Rod Wheeler, which is part of the puzzle. And as Joe mentioned in the half hour starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, Rod Wheeler has left a video trail on Fox Local DC and in his interviews on Fox National on May 16th. And those really can't be retracted. I mean, they were in his words, his analysis of what he was doing investigating the Seth Rich case. And even though he apparently is trying to retract it now with his legal filing, you know, I didn't see anybody with a gun to his head when he was giving those sound bites, so I don't know. It remains to be seen. By the way, just a quick comment on where he might be coming from. That is Rod Wheeler in his throwing everything, but including the kitchen sink, into his legal filing today, including his claim of racial discrimination. And, you know, it reminds me, it rings a bell of so many other Fox News on-air personnel as well as behind-the-scenes personnel in the past year, since this started to hit the fan in July of last year, when Gretchen Carlson, the on-air talent who had been pretty much taken off the air, was the first one to file a lawsuit claiming sexual harassment, and she was given a $20 million settlement, and that opened the floodgates for a number of people to come forward and make similar claims, which is not to, I'm not intending to comment on the validity of the truth or otherwise of their claims. I think most of them have not actually been, or none of them has been adjudicated in court, but they are claims. I believe Rod Wheeler is probably the second one who had an on-air role there. Then there are a number of behind-the-scenes people. But, you know, when you think about it, if, you know, I have some empathy for someone in Rod Wheeler's position. I mean, the guy was clearly clinging to this on-air contributor role at Fox News for the past 12 years. And for whatever reason, he was not satisfied with the level of that role. You know, perhaps he did have a legitimate claim there. I don't know. Maybe that will be adjudicated. But in any case, he dips his toe in the water of this Seth Rich case, probably out of a sincere, you know, giving him the benefit of the doubt. He certainly seemed sincere at the outset that he was really going to use his investigative skills and his contacts to try to make a contribution to this case. And look what happened. I mean, I can draw an analogy with what happened to Dr. Michio Hirano, a very different case, which we were talking about last week, baby Charlie Gard. Dr. Hirano, being an esteemed medical doctor and researcher at Columbia University Medical Center, from what I could tell, had never involved himself in a controversial case before, got involved in the Charlie Gard case. And starting on Monday of last week, suddenly everybody is attacking him. The court in England, the attorneys for the hospital, the judge in the case, the media. He went from a miracle worker one day to a quack and a pariah the next, because he just took on something that was too big, the medical industrial complex. I mean, here Rod Wheeler, you know, again, giving him the benefit of the doubt, probably tried to do the best he could, and look what happened to him. You know, his career was going up in smoke. So, you know, you can understand perhaps a little bit of where he's coming from, that with these lawsuits going forward, he probably figures, you know, why not me too? You know, I was disgruntled, I was unhappy, and I'm going to get my piece of the action. So,
and
you know,
when with Rod Wheeler, when you toss in the emotion of the family, or when you toss in the emotion of an unsolved homicide and the complexities of an unsolved homicide, let me tell you something. Having worked unsolved homicides, I got to tell you, you just don't get any more emotional than that in terms of
and
cases.
The family turned against him too. He originally signed a contract with the family. He was working on their behalf. And right after he started going public in May, by the way, he claims that there's some contention about his speaking out. The family criticized him and said, well, you spoke out of turn because we were supposed to okay your speaking out. And he was saying, I think it was on a recording he did with Big League Politics, or it might have been in his legal filing, that he felt that he had the right to speak out if it was not representing the family, which he felt he was not doing when he was speaking out in May. But, you know, there's the legal splitting hairs there. But the family was really actively turning against him starting in May. And yet in this recording we have from Big League Politics, where he's on the record letting his hair down for a half hour,
yes,
he's talking at length about how he was not getting any cooperation in his initial investigations from Seth Rich's brother. Rod Wheeler is having a hard time finding out where is Seth Rich's computer, which would have been an essential piece of evidence, where is Seth Rich's phone or cell phones, plural. There was some belief that the brother had custody of these, and Rod Wheeler was not getting cooperation from the family about those potentially essential pieces of evidence. So, I mean, this case is so complex and convoluted, as well, you would know very well, Doug, because of your background as a licensed investigator. But cases tend to be, you know, when you get beyond the scattershot reporting of the mainstream media about legal cases, they're all very complicated. And something like this is going to be probably among the most complicated when you see all the players who have an involvement or an interest in this. So the can of worms is very, very deep. And hopefully we'll be able to get some clarity out of it in the days ahead. And it will be interesting to try to make some sense out of that. And I will certainly be following up on it, as I know you will too. I mean, today when I,
indeed,
you know, I checked out Drudge first thing today, and I saw a little item in red there relating to this. I really think it should have been the main headline, but I clicked on it, and like you, when you read the NPR piece and then I listened to their six-minute report, I thought, is this believable or not? This is, I mean, what next? You know, what's tomorrow going to be like? You can't predict what one day after another we are going to see. It's just absolutely mind-boggling.
Yeah, indeed. Peter, thank you for contextualizing this this Rod Wheeler situation into the larger picture, which is, you know, is the takedown of Fox News, which is really a backdoor to taking down the Donald Trump presidency, the will of the people, and the players involved here. It's very complex, but you understand it, and you've explained it very well. And I would urge everyone, when this is edited, this piece is edited, please share it with others, because I think you really did a great job, and I want to thank you first. I apologize for the late start, but we've given you time through the second or last hour, so. But
yeah,
let's
Let me just close with one quick thought.
Sure.
Listeners and viewers, when you hear or see, read any reporting on Rod Wheeler, Seth Rich, these current developments today and possibly in the days ahead, please keep in mind, as Doug just suggested there, that this is part of a much larger picture, and including the present and the future of the Fox News channel. They may not seem immediately related at first blush, but they are. So keep your mind open, because it's a big, big story.
You are the man. You are the man. Thank you so very much.
Thank
Peter.
You, Doug.
We'll talk
Joe.
Soon. All right. Peter Berichalka.
Thanks, Peter.
Catch his articles at American Thinker and at HagmanReport.com. Yeah, very, just in a tremendously intellectual. I mean, this guy, I'm serious, man. It might be 3 o'clock in the morning his time, and I'll be talking to him. He's like a Steve Quayle, in terms of he never sleeps, but and he's got the surgical precision. But in the end, or I'm kind of giving some time to get Stan on. In the end, at the end of the day, please understand, this is not what you think it is. Okay, nothing that we're seeing is what you think it is. And I want to publicly thank Peter Berichalka, but I also want to publicly thank